listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
I'm Gary Duncan.
We have a very, very full studio today, an exciting program ahead of us in our KFUO Radio History Series. A very special guest joining us to tell us his stories from his time at KFUO Radio coming up in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for your support of The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. All right, so we've got Joni, we've got Gary, and joining us, a very special guest, John Fisher, former KFUO Radio chief engineer for, according to my notes, approximately 50 years. Thanks so much for joining us in studio today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's indeed an honor, yes.
It's so good to have you back. I know we've had you on once before, but that was a lot of years ago, and we weren't about to celebrate our 100th anniversary. So I know you have a lot of stories to share with us, and I'm so excited, and I know Joni and Gary have a lot of things to ask you, too. So This is going to be really, really exciting for us. So first, share with us about when you served for KFUO Radio as chief engineer.
But the period of time?
Yes.
I think it started at 58, I think.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, it's difficult going back in memory like that.
I know you were with us for over 50 years.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I remember having that celebration of your 50 years.
50 years, yeah, celebration, yes. Wow. Yes.
And you know, the unique thing about John is, and I always think how God gives everyone talents. Yes, we have pastors to preach. Yes, we have hosts to do programs. But if there were no John Fishers, we would not be on the air. KFUO would never have existed. His importance was invaluable to the station. It truly was. And he was this person who you could go to John for anything. He had a tool room full of tools. He was prepared for anything, and you had to be back then, especially I know now just trying to get on the computer can be a hassle.
Right.
But back then, John had to literally repair the things that were going on.
Everything was very physical, yes.
Tell us about the squirrels.
Yeah, we had a situation where we were having problems with our signal, and the squirrels were eating the insulation off of the wires, and we had to get that stopped because, you know, they were cutting into the wire, and then the wire would fail. So I had to get the rat poison out. And that was the solution.
Well, you know, with squirrels, there are one or two things. You either have a bunch of dead air or you have a bunch of dead squirrels. Because one or two is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because if they bite the wrong wires, they get zapped.
Yeah, but then you're off the air, yes.
Yeah.
And that did happen, and that was the solution. You hated to do that, but you had to what do squirrels eat? They probably will eat. They eat anything, you know. So we got out the rat poison, and that did the trick.
You know, we have issues like that now. I remember a story you told once about the radiators and one of the general managers. Do you remember that story where you and somebody else was playing a joke on one of the general managers at the station?
Wow, that's a long time back.
You were... Someone, you told me the story, and one of you guys was up in the second floor of the old building near the general manager's office, and then someone else was down and banging on the pipe, but they were banging in the rhythm.
Oh, no.
You remember that?
That's really me. Yeah, I sure remember. It was a good joke.
Yeah. Well, you told me that you had a walkie-talkie and the other guy had a walkie-talkie. And then you got a call to go upstairs because the general manager was having this radiator making this terrible noise. Well,
it made a knocking noise.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was knocking to rhythm, though. It was not just normal knocking. And you told me that then he called you in and you told the other guy, I'm going to his office, and he stopped tapping on it. And you walked in and you were like, I don't hear anything. You remember that?
Oh, now, yeah, it's coming back. Yeah. And then that was a good joke. Yeah, because then I would check it and it wouldn't be knocking.
Yeah.
And then after we leave, you would start knocking.
Right. That's yeah. The way you tell the guy, I'm not in this office anymore, and he start banging on it again.
That's right. I remember that now. That was pretty funny, yeah.
That was John paying them back for all the work they had him do. When I started out, I was on the intercom, and it would always be, John Fisher's needed in the studio.
I remember
John
that.
Fisher's needed in the studio.
Yeah.
I don't remember what general manager it was, do you?
Yeah, Emerson Russell.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of him going through all the historic pictures.
Yeah, yeah, he was the first manager. And, yeah.
Would you work in there?
Mr. Emerson Russell, yes.
That's a funny story. I'll never forget that.
That's a good story.
I also remember, John, every time it would snow, it seemed like, I'd look outside and there was John climbing up a ladder to shovel or to sweep all the snow off of our satellite dish. Because there again, we wouldn't have been on the air without you out there doing that, shoveling the snow.
I think that's one of the first images I had of John when I first started working at KFU, was him out there sweeping the snow off those satellite dishes.
You're knocking the snow off there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many times did you rebuild the studios?
You know, I don't remember that. They were state of the art.
Yeah. And how did you keep up with that? You must have had, your daughters were telling me you would study at night the books, so that you would know what you had to do in the future?
As technology was changing, you had to keep up with that for that 50 years.
Yeah. I remember trying to keep right state of the art, and I had to do a lot of studying. And it was not a chore for me because I enjoyed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be first class, so we tried to just keep it with what they were doing, you know.
Tell us about some of the technology you got to work with. I obviously I was not around for a lot of that technology, but I married into a radio family. My husband and my father-in-law are both radio enthusiasts, so I've learned a lot since coming to KFUO. But I mean, I'm sure you have stories about all kinds of the technology from 50, 60 years ago. Tell us some of that, some of the technology that you got to work with.
I guess I don't know exactly. It just came along, and you did what you had to do. I don't recall.
A lot of it was when you first started, would have been tubes.
Oh, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When we first started, we didn't have solid state. Mm-hmm. They had radio tubes, and they needed an awful lot of maintenance because they had filaments like light bulbs, and they would get weak or they burn out, and you'd have to, they'd get overheated. You have to keep the transmitter cool, mm-hmm. and all these different elements got into the picture, and you had to tend to each different thing, yeah.
And you were always prepared for that, because at the old building, even right before we moved away from the old building, there was this huge cabinet, and you opened it up, and it was full of tubes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We weren't using them any longer because solid state had come along.
Yeah.
But you always had enough tubes and everything to fix the problem you had.
Oh, yeah. You had to keep a stock of tubes. And, you know, you had to have them right on hand, because if one get weaker, burn out, mm-hmm. you'd have to replace the tube. Yeah. Yes.
I think I remember seeing an old tube tester on your workbench, too, where you could test the various tubes.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Well, and I remember in that room, it, not just tubes. I mean, John, it looked like Home Depot before Home Depot. It had everything in it that you can imagine. But I guess that was part of, you had to be prepared constantly for anything that would break down.
Yeah, you didn't want to be off the air. You
know, right.
You had to have it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the test equipment that you used during that time, I remember seeing some of that in the, we weren't using it when I started there, but I know you had used it in the past, some of those oscilloscopes and stuff like that that you had to use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that way you could see visually what was going on, you know.
It showed like a sine wave or something on a screen.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think people realize, I kind of say, it's like we can't figure out how the pyramids were built. I can't figure out with all that equipment how we stayed on the air years ago, but we had to have engineers like John to keep us on there, keep it going, because it was something that you had to have the knowledge of. And as I said, everyone has their own gift and talent, and that was John's talent to keep the gospel going by being on the air all the time.
Yes.
I know a lot of engineers in this business, and the older engineers that were around when you were working at KFUO, I think you also did some work for another radio station too, I believe, here in the St. Louis area, right?
Yeah, I had three different stations. Yeah, I guess it's okay to mention them.
Yeah.
WCBW.
Right.
And WESL in East St. Louis.
Right. Well, when you mention the name John Fisher, still among those engineers that are still around, they hold you in great honor. They talk about all the knowledge that you had and still have, I'm sure, in that type of radio back then, the tubes and the those technologies that were, some of these guys were coming up younger, and they weren't learning a lot of that, but they could turn to you if they had a question. They'd give you a call, and you'd help them out. And it's just, even still, you mentioned your name, John, and these engineers. Oh, I remember John.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember the name Dave Overgainer.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Overgainer is an engineer that's worked for several stations in St. Louis. Dave Overgainer was in one of the programs we had here as a little kid back in 1964, I think he said. And I think it was the Bible Class on the Air was the name of the program. His Sunday school group came in, and he's just a little kid. And he says, I wasn't that interested in learning about being on the air or anything. He said, but even as a little kid, I liked the technology behind it. And he said, the engineer at that time, John Fisher, showed me around and showed me all that technology, and that's where I got the bug to be a radio engineer. At that time, as a child, with him showing me all that neat stuff, I realized that that's what I want to do when I grow up.
Oh, yeah, that long ago memory. It's nice that you bring that back. Yes.
Yeah, Dave Overgainer. He's still doing engineer. He's doing most of his work out in Cape Girardeau now.
Is that right?
That's where he lives. He still travels to St. Louis to do some things for some radio stations.
Yeah.
John, when did your interest come for engineering?
I guess it's my dad got me started. I remember years ago, I was always interested in radio, and there was something called the Radio Amateur's Handbook. I studied that a lot and knew a whole lot about radio from that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember actually rebuilding transmitters, because we had a CCA transmitter, and it the tube socket went bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember of actually getting in there and rebuilding the whole assembly. And that involved Bill Delicate work, because he had to put small parts in this already existing equipment. And I remember that was a real big triumph for me to get that done, and then to tune it, and it started working. It was a nice, very nice experience.
We have more stories to share from John Fisher, the former KFUO chief engineer for about 50 years, during our series celebrating 100 years of KFUO radio. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Joni Arbell.
And I'm Gary.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Joni Harwell.
I'm still Gary.
We're joined in studio today with a very special guest, John Fisher, the former KFUO radio chief engineer for approximately 50 years. He's sharing some really great stories from his time serving with us at KFUO radio. And before we went to break, John, you were sharing your interest in engineering and in radio. What was it about radio that was so exciting for you?
I try to think back. Now, that's a bit of a job. I remember, I think I started with an electric motor.
Oh, wow.
Or was it either a motor or a transformer? And I started with those when I was a little kid. And my dad got me this little motor, and I used to run it. And then the transformer was the source of electricity for the motor. So between those two things, they were little toys that I enjoyed playing with.
you were ahead of your time, John.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I found that I could run, instead of just running a motor, I found that I could, you used to have the Christmas lights, and I found that I could use the transformer to run the lights. And I could make them bright, real bright and real dim, just by using the transformer and fooling around with the equipment that way. And that was just something as a boy.
How old were you then?
I was probably, maybe about 12 or somewhere in there, 8, 12.
That's amazing.
If you don't mind, John, can we share with them your age now?
Sure.
John is 95. Which means KFUO was just 5 years old when he was born. And so he really grew up with KFUO totally.
Oh, yeah. Because I think it started in 1924.
Yeah.
And I was, 28 is when I was born. So it was here 4 years before I came along.
Wow.
And I was really interested in radio when I would listen to the radio station a whole lot. Mm.
So, if my memory serves me, you were in the military as well, weren't you?
Yes.
And did you radio engineering in the military?
Yes. I worked at Scott Air Base. And it was regular service work. I don't recall exactly what I all did, but yeah, it was regular.
Okay.
The kind of work you do in the military.
So your radio profession came after that service?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, for me it was a hobby first, and like playing with these motor and transformer. And then they had what they called crystal set. And I, as a little boy, I would stay up late at night and be listening to the radio on the crystal set on headset in my bed. That's where I'm supposed to be sleeping.
And John, you had a beautiful wife, Wilma. How many years were you married?
I was about 50 years or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have three beautiful daughters who are in the studio with us today. We have Nancy, Mary, and Sue. Yeah. So they came in to kind of hear all your memories. They've probably heard some in the past, but maybe we've got a few stories that they haven't heard yet.
Yeah, they got their good looks from my beautiful wife.
You had a very sweet wife. I remember her. She was a very, very dear woman. Yes. And you also were an ice skater. Tell us about that.
I remember those stories too.
Oh, yeah. I skated too much.
I think you had a broken arm when I first met you from falling.
Well, I still have a bad arm. I skated. Being I was radio engineer, I had to work at night a whole lot of time. So I had a lot of free time during the day. So I would ice skate. And I ice skated a whole lot at the Brentwood rink.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of my daughters are ice skaters.
And how old were you when you stopped?
When I stopped, I was pretty up there.
Yeah, I want to say, I think I remember you ice skating still at 85.
I think it was pretty much, I finally got spinal stenosis.
Oh, no.
Where my spine
narrows.
It got real painful.
Yeah.
And I had to quit because of that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I remember John would come in and the rest of us would never even attempt to go ice skating. And John would come in and say he was ice skating.
Yeah, I sure did. I enjoyed it too much, but I could do a funny thing that once happened. This is a funny story. There's something called the bunny hop. Mm-hmm. It's something you do on ice skates. It's a little skip thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I asked myself, what happens if you do two bunny hops in a row? And
What happens, John?
I have a broken shoulder because of that.
No. Whoops. Oh, my.
What happened, I was skating and doing two bunny hops in a row. I got going very, very fast.
Yes.
And I got going so fast, I started falling backwards.
Oh.
And I was by the rail. And as I fell backwards, I kept falling back and I'm going fast, so I keep moving. And my arm is on the rail and it keeps going back. And unfortunately, it did not unhinge, but my shoulder is bad.
Sure.
And it's been 50 years or more than that, agony because of the stupidity of doing two bunny hops in a row.
You weren't trying out for the Olympics, were you?
No, it was just stupid curiosity.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and you played a big part in everything at KFU. I mean, your job was not a 40-hour-a-week job. When we had things where we had to go other places, John would be there to set up. When, you know, anything that was going on, you were there. You were part of it.
Oh, yeah. We had to, church broadcasts was a big thing with KFU. And I would have to go to the churches and set up. They did not have, nowadays, churches all have equipment. Mm-hmm. At that time, they either had inferior equipment or they didn't have any equipment. So we would have to set up for the Sunday broadcasts or Saturday broadcasts, whatever mm-hmm. they did. And we would have to set
the entire thing up.
The whole thing up.
Microphones and everything. Yeah. You wouldn't just plug into something they already
had. No. We had to set up. We'd bring our own public address equipment, and then we would connect our own equipment up so that they could broadcast. Then we'd hook it up to the broadcast line.
And that would that be every week?
Yes. I would have to do it, go to the church and set up, mm-hmm. and then broadcast, mm-hmm. and then take it back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hours and hours of work. And then when we had special events and things, you had to be there. You had to help with all of that. So it was very, very important. And I know not only were you the engineer, you trained a number of men also, either seminary students who came along, or I know, what was it, Frank, who worked with
Frank
you?
Spitz.
Frank Spitz,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was there a number of years as well.
He was. He was an engineer with me, mm-hmm. and we worked together, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
That's amazing. It's been so great having you in studio, John. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but it's been wonderful to hear your stories and to just have you here with us, helping us celebrate 100 years of KFUO Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Joni Harwell.
I'm Gary Duncan.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.